Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Trollo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Trollo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Good morning and welcome to the championship rounds of Trollo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Amin El-Hassan, ESPN NBA insider, will join us in about a half hour, right around 9:30, 9:35. For those who may have missed it, we have tickets to Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals to give away. The game is Thursday, 6 p.m. Today at 8 a.m., tomorrow at 8 a.m., and Thursday at 8 a.m., we are giving you a code word. You can still use the code word even now to get in on today. The website you go to is realtor.com/warriors. Realtor. realtor.com/warriors. When you're there, enter the code word REAL, R-E-A-L, and you're in for today. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 coming strong with the suggestions. Dibs has the Warriors beating the Blazers in 5. Anna has the Warriors beating the Blazers in 6. Lowe has the Warriors beating the Blazers in 7. We're trying to come up with some sort of bet, a little three-way action here that we can figure out. Winner takes something home or whatever. Losers, shamed. From the 650, the two losers have to wear CP3 and Harden jerseys for 2 days.
Ooh, that is a good one. That's tough.
That's doable.
That's doable. We'd have to, of course, pay for these, and I don't know who would want to pay for a Harden or CP3 jersey.
Does it come with lighter fluid, Joe?
That's one option. From the 510, losers pay for breakfast and lunch for a week. That's a relatively reasonable request as well. From the 831, losers must wear a diaper during the show until they go number 2 in it.
Oh.
No.
Anyone interested?
No.
No one's interested in that option?
Hey, Dibs, thank you.
It's there. I don't make this stuff up.
Yeah, yeah. Not a text of the day nominee. I mean, that's... Come on now.
Oh, come on, Lowell.
Thank you, Pop.
See, still not old.
All right. Game 1 tonight, 6 p.m. is your tip. 95.7 The Game is the place to hear all the action. Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by our friends at Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. What is our concern level tonight? Would you lay the points? Warriors minus 7.5, over under around 219. You know, you're not necessarily locked into the picks on the spread, but how do we feel about Game 1? The team's got some extra rest. At home, coming off the Rocket series, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good about it. I think a number of reasons would lean me toward giving the Warriors and giving the points in this game. Rodney Hood, questionable. Not sure if he's going to be up for it. You got Portland coming in off a long, long series against Denver. 7.5 games, if you count the 4 overtimes as half a game. The Warriors with additional rest coming home, and I think that they've gotten the wake-up call they needed. I think the Warriors win comfortably tonight. I would give, Joe, the 7.5.
In this Church, one. Pew, seat, draws?
Man, I guess we can say draws because I don't know what the hell this is. Because both teams are going to be getting a lot of draws tonight. The 3 balls going to be flying. Draws.
Draws means you completely agree with him. Same church, same pew, same seat. You're sharing the same pair of draws.
Oh, no, no, no. Okay. No, we're not nowhere near.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure you were clear because you seemed very excited about that early.
Thank you.
Different church, different pew, different religion, I believe, on this one.
Yes.
He likes Portland and the points,
I believe. I like the points. I'd take the Warriors winning a game, but I don't know if I'm giving them 8. You know, I think, I saw that at 8. I know it's at 7.5, and I still
You called take, it yesterday at 8. You get the better number.
Yeah, so I want the better number, so I'm taking Portland. I took Portland and I took the points, so definitely Warriors win the game. But 8,
what is it that worries you? Why do you like Portland in this situation?
I just think that Portland has been disrespected through the whole playoffs. They have not been favored to win a series. And all they have done is find a way to win both series. And now they're coming to take on the big, bad Warriors. And my daddy always told me a hungry dog hunts best. This dog is hungry, It's coming here, and they feel as if, yeah, they've had two. They had one horrible injury, just like the Warriors have. They lost a big man, and everyone said it's over, and they're still here. I think that they're in a situation that they look at not seeing KD. This team, I don't think that they'll turtle up like the Rockets. I think that they see how great KD is. They understand no one can guard KD. They understand that. They know that. And I believe that they're going to play hard, and they're going to play to their strengths, and they believe they can compete with the Warriors, and they're not going to back down. So I see the Warriors winning. So that's what scares me. This team's hungry.
Portland's dangerous because they have nothing to lose. Absolutely nothing to lose. Everybody left in the playoffs has something to lose, and everyone in the previous round, for the most part, had something to lose. They don't. Last year, they were a 4-and-out, swept as a 3 seed by the New Orleans Pelicans, who completely fell apart the following season. They were ridiculed. They were mocked. They were called overrated. No one took them seriously. They entered the postseason this year. A lot of people, including myself, be the first to say that, took OKC to win that series. Didn't give Portland much credit. Nurkic went down with the injury, so the thought process was nice season,
yep,
not nice enough. We don't consider you a threat. They went out there. They hammered OKC, and at that point, all right, step in the right direction. Forget about the year before. Progress. But then they go out, and they not only beat Denver, they find a way to win a Game 7 at Denver as 5.5-point dogs while trailing by 17. That's a marquee win. So now you're in the Western Conference Finals for the first time since 2000. City's excited because it's the only pro sports team you have there of the major sports. You've got some other stuff, I understand. But this is huge for the city of Portland. And you're going up against the big bad Warriors. So no one's picking you to win that either. So the reality of this is you have nothing to lose. Toronto's got pressure. They could lose Kawhi. Milwaukee's got pressure. They were the number one seed in the East, number one overall seed in the NBA. They could have the MVP in Giannis. Sixers have plenty to lose. Celtics had plenty to lose. The Rockets had plenty to lose. Portland's got nothing to lose. That's a dangerous situation.
It is dangerous, but I think that when you look at the team they beat in Denver, Denver turtled up. A team without a lot of great experience to blow a 17-point lead at home in a decisive Game 7. You give Portland credit for fighting and coming back, but Denver did next to nothing in that fourth quarter. Now Portland's taking a huge step up in class from an OKC team that is largely broken and dysfunctional. You took them out in five, then you took down a Denver team that was wildly inexperienced and a team that was pretty content with going as far as they did, and now you're stepping up to take on a dynastic team, opening up with the first two games in Oakland. I think it's too tall of a task for Portland, and you're right, there's no pressure on them, but ultimately their lack of quality on the roster, I think, compared to Golden State, is what makes it too tough of a task for them.
How refreshing is this series, knowing you're going up against a team that you don't hate, going up against a team with Oakland's own Damian Lillard, going up against a good, strong fan base, not a bunch of floppers, not a bunch of disagreeable individuals. Like, this is a basketball series. We're coming into this series, and I don't think we're going to be talking about a lot of nonsense. I don't think there are going to be cheap shots and guys trying to trip one another like we saw in the last series with those petty fools from Houston. I think this is two teams that are going to go out and play basketball. It's kind of nice to get past that Houston series and think, damn, it was great to beat them, but it's also great to get all the drama and the garbage off the table as well. Like, that was just, there's so much nonsense with that. This is about basketball.
And the sense that if you do lose, that you can, you know, when you get a little bit of distance from it, you can feel good about the fact that it is Portland and it is Damian Lillard who would be going to the NBA Finals. You know, Portland here for the first time in 19 years in the conference finals. It's not like seeing Houston beat you, and like you said, on your home floor, if they were to close Oracle down with the Rockets, Chris Paul, no, that's not the way that should go.
No.
That would be the kind of thing that would burn you throughout the entire offseason. If you don't have KD for the whole series, like Lowe thinks that maybe he doesn't return, and let's say you lose to Portland, it's respectable. You don't choke or you don't get swept by the Blazers. It's a good old-fashioned series, and you know what? They're better than you. You can tip your cap, and you can feel good about Damian Lillard, Terry Stotts, who's been a good coach in the association. So to your point, I think this is a great matchup for that because a lot of the outside distraction stuff is not going to be there.
Portland, Houston, Clippers. First three series for the Warriors in this year's playoff run. Where does Portland rank in terms of degree of difficulty when stacked up against the Clippers and the Rockets?
Everyone thinks I'm crazy. I think this is going to be the best test.
You think this is the toughest test?
They only played. Everyone's all sitting at the Clippers. The Clippers beat them two games. The perception of the Rockets. The Rockets only won two games. So you look at the Clippers' two best scores. You look at the Rockets' two best scores. Now you look at the Portland's two best scores. If you said which two you think would average more, where would you go?
I would probably take Houston.
Houston?
Before all of that starts, if you ask me all this without any sort of recent history to go with, I'd probably take Houston because I'm going to assume that Harden is going to score the most of the group and be able to carry his number two. So I would probably take Houston. But I see the point you're making, McCollum and Lillard.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, so you look at it now. So, yeah, I would. And guess what, Joe? I would have too. At the beginning, before it started, I would have too. But now when I'm watching, everyone's just they get caught up in the moment. Oh, you're crazy. Oh, okay. Now everyone was talking about how they need KD. Now all of a sudden, we won. Did you watch the game? All of a sudden, now Portland's not a formidable opponent. Hush, people. Hush.
Hush, hog, I hear back.
Absolutely.
This is the sixth time in NBA history a team has gotten swept in the opening round of the playoffs and then come back the following season and made it to the conference final. This is the sixth time that's happened. The first time it ever happened was in 1990. It turned out it was Portland. Portland came back the following year. They won the conference final. They lost in the finals, five games. 1995 was the second time it happened. The Orlando Magic. 95's got to be Shaq, right?
That was a Nick Anderson, I believe, missing those free throws.
But that was still, wasn't that the
yes,
year Shaq
was.
Was there when
and
he got
Penny,
in the finals?
Shaq and Penny.
So they got swept out the year before, came back in 95, won the conference final, went to the finals, lost in four. Swept out by?
Oh, man.
95.
Was it Dallas? No. 95.
Wedged in between two three-peats was?
Oh, Houston.
Houston.
Yeah,
the dream.
Houston. That's right.
The dream.
That's right. That was the Nick Anderson missed free throw series in game one. He missed the four free throws in that game.
Do you remember that, Houston, or are you just chiming in?
No, Nick. Nick, I never remember missing free throws.
They did a 30 for 30 on that Orlando run.
Really?
Yeah, I believe it was Penny and Shaq, and it was the whole Orlando thing with the old Philadelphia GM who was Pat Williams. Pat Williams is down there.
Not Pat. Yeah. Don't be confused with Pat Burrell. Pat Williams.
Yeah, I wasn't confusing it. Who confuses Pat Williams with Pat Burrell?
Or Pat Riley.
Are you that much of a simpleton that the name Pat is enough to throw you off?
Yes, I'm very much
and
that
And Pat Summit was still
a Tennessee. I told you, he's banned from the show. Pat Williams, Mr. Motivational Speaker. If you ever get in front of that guy, he's going to make you feel really good about yourself. Then you're going to step outside and be like, you know, where the hell is that guy? I need that guy talking to me 24/7. Coming off that 1997 Miami. Miami swept out of the playoffs, came back the next year, lost in five in the conference finals, did not advance. Of the five previous times where this has happened, a team getting swept out in the first round and then advancing to the conference finals, two of the five went on to win the conference finals and then lose in the finals. That was what we already laid out. Portland and Orlando. Miami went to the conference finals but lost in five. In 2009, Denver went to the conference finals. They lost in six. And then in 2016, Toronto. Toronto was the most recent team to get swept out in the first round, come back the following year, go to the conference finals. They lost in six to, I'm guessing that would be Cleveland if it was the conference finals
Cleveland.
And it was 2016. Yeah. So there you go. So a chance LeBron to James. Be in some rarefied air. Pay the over. A lot of people thought that was coming sooner.
Yeah.
Chance to be in rarefied air if the Blazers can get through this opening round. Dame Lillard lifetime. Against the Golden State Warriors, regular season, postseason combined, 27.8 points per game. That is his highest scoring total against any team in the NBA comes against the Warriors. So you know he's coming tonight. He's going to put him up. It's which Dame Lillard are you getting? The OKC Dame Lillard, which is a bit scary because of how well he played, or the Denver Dame Lillard, who struggled a bit from the floor and from three. Numbers came down a bit. Some say maybe getting tired this time of year. His usage rate's way up. It's understandable. But you'd certainly rather have the Denver Dame over the OKC Dame. Do you see this series being a split after two games?
I don't see it being a split after two games. I see it being a split after four games. I think the home team holds serve in the first four.
How do you see it through the first two and through first four?
Yeah, I said it earlier. I'm with Dibs. I'm in the same church
as
him.
But do you see there being a split here in two, or is it going to be home team holds?
I think the home team will hold serve. I think when you look at the Warriors, though, have shown you that they can lose a game at here at Oracle. They've done it in both playoff games. So I know we're going out there saying, hey, they get it now. They're going to be able to play at a high level. I think that they will win both games at home, and then they'll lose both on the road.
A subtle reminder that tonight tip time is 6 p.m.
6 p.m., that's right.
And you can always know, let us know what you think on the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Tip time's at 6 p.m. for every one of these games against Portland, and they will be every other night. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Monday, you see where I'm going here. But at 5:30, it's the lottery. The lottery's tonight. Kevin Durant, if he's thinking about going to the Knicks, this is going to be a big moment for him. Knicks, this is the first time they're instituting the lottery under the new rules, which means the Knicks, the Cavs, and the Suns, the three worst teams in the NBA, all have a 14% chance of getting the number one overall pick. Are the Knicks getting it?
I think the Knicks do get it. And it's been, I think, what, 35 years since they won the draft lottery the last time. So, yeah, the odds are good that, you know, randomly that they happen to win it again. And I think this is the year where it all comes down for them. The Knicks will win, and they will take Zion Williamson, even though I don't think he's the best player in the draft. I think the Knicks are going to go ahead and win the lottery tonight.
Wow, already locking it up. They're going to win the lottery, and they're taking Zion Williamson.
I don't see how that particular organization could turn their back on Zion Williamson, because any other pick that they made would be criticized as not being Zion Williamson.
All right. What do you see? Do the Knicks win the pick tonight? And if so, do you see them taking Zion?
Whoever wins the pick is going to take Zion. Now, I do agree there, but I don't see the Knicks getting it. Mm. They're not going to get the pick. And the text line just wanted me to tell Daniel that, you know, if he's got him going 2-2 and splitting, then our bet's probably got to be off because he's got five.
Yeah, I made a mistake on that, and I appreciate you pointing that out. I probably should have thought that through a little bit because, you know, it's impossible for them to split the four games and have the Warriors still win in five. So I'd have to recalibrate that upon further review.
I feel shame that I didn't catch that earlier.
Yeah, I'm proud of you, Lo, for leaning on the good listeners to always be quick to point out my mistakes. And this is a good template going forward.
I'm just talking.
Going forward, Steven, remind me now to point out everyone's mistakes. And we'll do that from now on.
We would have done the same thing to him. No, you're right.
You're right. Absolutely. And I think going forward, I will be more hyper-vigilant about pointing out everyone's mistakes.
It's not a mistake. I'm just wondering. Cause
I want to thank you. I want this to come across properly.
Come on. No,
thank
you, Lo. Why are you getting so upset?
Not that upset at all. I want to thank you and the good people of the 9-2 whatever for pointing out all my mistakes.
It's not a mistake. I just want to.
No, it was a terrible mistake. And I you know what? Danny, yeah, I'm being called in the office. Sorry, guys. This could be it for me.
The fact that we didn't catch that earlier, though, the fact you've been picking him at five, but you do have it as a 2-2 split.
No, it's terrible. It's a fireable offense. It's good, though. It's low, and I'm glad that you feel better about that, knowing that now I
feel better. It's not even now.
Why'd you read it?
I'm glad you brought it up. I am glad you brought it up.
The bet that we
you know,
had.
A good
why are you
friend
so
might
mad
have,
about it?
Because a good friend would have, you know, during the break, a good friend would have been like, hey,
that's not how this show works. You know that.
But he wants to have it both ways. So now you get to have it both ways.
Oh, my God. I get crushed on the show daily. Oh, my God. I'm your punching bag.
Let me go ahead and correct you. It's not daily. It's hourly. You get crushed. So there. From the 925, it's not daily. It's hourly. Thank you, texters. That's great. It's great. A good friend pulls you aside. Hey, dude, you were pretty messed up last night. You know, I just want to help you out.
That's not how we do things on this show. You know that. Has anyone here ever pulled anyone aside to give them a heads up on anything with this show?
No.
The dirty laundry gets aired immediately.
Yet he purports to, oh, I love you, Daniel. You don't love me. So please stop saying how much you love me.
How many people on this show, now the two in the back and the three in here, how many tried to help me out with the F-bomb on Friday?
I did.
No, you didn't.
What am I supposed to do? I immediately screamed out, dump, dump, dump.
A good friend would have prevented me from saying the F-bomb. And I should have said something in that previous break. I'm standing up for you in this situation.
I should have pulled you aside, Joe, and reminded you at 9:30 not to curse.
Yes. A good heads up would be, Joe, we know you like to run hot verbally off the mic.
Yeah.
Every 30 minutes, give me a heads up that I might let something spill over.
You know, Joe,
Pappas was the only one that rose to the occasion and dumped that.
For instance, the 650 just said, Lo, just like you said, the Warriors lost a home game against the Rockets. I meant to say that, you know, they lost against the Clippers. So they pointed that out on me as well. So, I mean, I'm not, you know, I mess up all the time. I was just saying for our bet because all three of us are
right, right. Right. So no, you don't have to explain it to me. I get what you did. I totally, there's not a lack of understanding.
All right, hold on. I got to take this in a different direction. Music. Yeah. So it's your choice here. Do you want to funeralize your series will be split after four or Warriors in five take?
Let's funeralize the series will be split because I feel better about Warriors in five. So,
dearly beloved,
let's do
Lowell, we'll let you handle the honors here.
Dearly beloved, Daniel, I understand where you were trying to say, and where you were trying to go. I understand.
Corpses don't talk and corpses don't hit buttons.
Yes, that is.
Oh, come on, Ho.
I'm confused. You know what? Major split.
Rest in peace.
That was the shortest eulogy.
That eulogy should be funeralized. It was so bad.
Play up the music. Go ahead, Dibs. Funeralize that. But no.
Bring the music down. Let's not. Let's not completely lose sight of what we are.
It's
here
already gone. You guys are
way bad.
Good stuff. It's really strong content.
Sure.
At some point, we try to talk about this game.
Keep saying that.
Amin El Hassan set to join us in about 10 minutes or so, a little after 9:30. Reminder for everyone: you can still get in on the chance to win Game 2 tickets. We are giving away tickets to Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals Thursday night. 6 p.m. tip time is the game. We're giving them away today at 8 a.m., tomorrow at 8, Thursday at 8. Those are your windows for which you can win, but it doesn't have to be exactly at 8. The window stays open a little bit. And for those who still want a chance, you have to go to realtor.com/warriors. That's realtor, realtor.com/warriors. Enter the code word REAL, R-E-A-L, today. Do that, and you'll have a chance to qualify. We'll talk to Amin El Hassan about the frozen envelope, everything regarding Game 1 of this series, Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, all that good stuff. Plus, we got Lowe is going to open up the book and give us his prop bets, his cockamamie prop bets for tonight's Game 1. This is going to be a bit we're instituting after he knocked it out of the park last week with Game 6 against the Rockets. All that good stuff brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. The Western Conference Finals is finally here. Warriors host the Blazers tonight. Coverage starts with Warriors Live at 4:30 here on 95.7 The Game. And Kevin Durant has been ruled out for tonight's game. He'll be reevaluated on Thursday, so it's unlikely he'll play in Game 2. But Steve Kerr gave an update on KD's injury.
He hasn't even stepped on the floor yet. He still has pain. So there's some time ahead of him on the rehab process. So we'll have a more detailed update on Thursday.
And while DeMarcus Cousins hopes to be back sooner rather than later, Kerr also said there's no timetable for Boogie to return just yet. And we're giving away tickets to Game 2. Go to realtor.com/warriors. The keyword again, real. Your next chance is tomorrow and Thursday morning at 8 a.m. for the next keyword. So keep on listening here on 95.7 The Game. Amin El Hassan will join the show next. And we still have Bet 162. That's coming up at 9:45. For now, I'm Anna Kagadakis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
To the phones we go. ESPN NBA insider Amin El Hassan joining Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Amin, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much for coming on the show. We'll jump into Game 1 Warriors Trailblazers in just a moment, but I wanted to get your thoughts on tonight's lottery. First time we're going to see the three teams, the Cavs, the Suns, and the Knicks, all with a 14% chance to get that number one overall pick. Do you think it breaks in New York's favor?
I don't know. It's a lottery, right? It's not like something where I can analyze how they've been playing. So this literally, they're picking ping pong balls out of the basket. It actually reminds me when I was in Phoenix after Steve Kerr and David Griffin left and the new management came in that first year we were in the lottery. And the guy in charge says to me, I want a complete historical workup about the lottery and, like, what are our odds moving up? And I said, your odds are right there. They give you the percentage. It's a lottery. There's no historical data here. It is literally the most random event possible.
It's certainly random now, and I was looking at the procedure. There's 1,001 combinations of the four ping pong balls, and each team's already been assigned all the combinations accordingly. When you go back to the Ewing days, do you think that it was random then? Are you a conspiracy truther? How do you think it played out the last time the Knicks won the lottery?
Well, I mean, that was the first lottery, by the way, if you remember.
Right.
Before that, it was just, you know, worst team gets the first pick. And so that was the first year they did that. And every team had an equal chance. That's the other thing people forget. You know, it'd be one thing if the Knicks were like, you know, had a 1% chance and then David Stern pulls out theirs. But he had, what, 13, 12 teams in that? Or no, it was seven. It wasn't even that many. Either way, it really wasn't that much of a stretch to pull out one envelope. So I don't think the conspiracy is real.
When you look at this matchup tonight, the Warriors in Portland, if Warriors are huge favorites and a favorite to win the series, what does Warrior fans and what does the Warriors have to worry about if Portland is going to compete? What are some of the things that would worry you about Portland's strengths?
Well, I think depth is one thing. You know, obviously Golden State played great in Game 6 against Houston and got some really big spot performances by their bench guys, you know, Jurepko and McKinney and Jordan Bell all gave them good minutes to spell. But the reality is this isn't a very deep team. That bench isn't, especially with Iguodala starting, that bench is weaker than it's ever been, I think, in this championship era of Golden State. And that's a concern, especially considering for some reason Steph Curry's been getting in foul trouble a lot these playoffs. And, you know, he's got to cut out the dumb fouls, not because he'll foul out or anything like that, but just from them having to sit him because of foul trouble, that's leaning harder on a bench that's pretty thin to begin with.
ESPN's Amin El-Hassan joining Joe, Lowe, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. What is your overall thought process right now on the future of Kevin Durant? We don't expect to see him for the first two games of this series. Perhaps we don't see him at all during Portland. At some point, the season concludes, and then he's going to make a decision. Do you think whatever he plans on doing has already been decided? A lot of people seem to lean that way, but some are of the impression that the remaining chunk of this postseason could be enough to sway him one way or another.
Yeah, I think his decision is made. I joke a lot with Ethan Strauss of The Athletic, who covers the Warriors, that who obviously has recently had a contentious relationship, mostly one-sided from Durant's side, but a contentious relationship with Durant. I joke with him all the time. I said, you know, the only thing that could keep Durant in Golden State is just his desire to spite you. like everything, the moving trucks have already taken everything over to New York and everything's set up over there. But Ethan writes one more thing about Durant going to New York. And Durant says, you know what? To hell with it. I'm staying. Now what you going to do, Strauss? You're wrong. You don't know anything.
What do you think the big attraction is about going to New York? Is it the idea that his agent, Rich Kleiman, could maybe get a piece of the team? Is it being an alpha dog at a startup project? What is it about New York that makes it so appealing, do you think?
Well, I think a couple of things. For one, you know, he seems to be a guy who seeks validation a lot, right? And he came to Golden State because he thought rings would give him the validation that he sought, and that's not how it quite worked out. And so instead of just keep, you know, in the words of 50 Cent, let him hate and watch the money pile up, instead of just keep winning, his new seeking of validation seems to be going to a bad team and being the man and being the one to pull it up. Because we say this all the time, you win one in New York, that's worth like 17 championships, right? Given the history of the Knicks and how bad they've been in the biggest market in the league. And so I think that's the allure of having all the credit and pulling off the impossible and all that. And also, I think he kind of looks at LeBron, whether he admits it or not, but there is a certain shadowing of how LeBron leads his career. LeBron leaves to go to Miami to win rings. Durant goes to Golden State to win rings. LeBron goes to L.A. to fulfill the full potential of LeBron Inc., right? Not just the basketball, but just the whole business of it. Durant kind of sees that. You know, LeBron's got the shop and uninterrupted. Durant's got boardroom. Everything, there's a little, it's like a shadow play where LeBron does something, Durant's like, yeah, I'd like to do something like that as well.
CJ, when you watch what CJ's been able to do in these playoffs in Dame Lillard, what's the perception of those guys nationally now with what they've been able to accomplish being underdogs in both these two series?
Well, I don't think they were underdogs in the first round at all. But, you know, It's hard for me to talk about national perception because I only know how I've perceived him. And I've always perceived Lillard as a tremendous, tremendous talent, right? He was on my MVP ballot this year. I believe he was on my MVP ballot last year. So he's one of the best players in the league. And I don't think there's any qualms about that. CJ McCollum is different because he's a guy that kind of went from not playing to playing to being a really good sixth man to starting to now we see him. As he did in the Denver series a lot of times where Dame struggled, CJ attacked and really carried them. And very similarly to when you think about Golden State and some of these playoff series where things don't go right and then all of a sudden Klay Thompson says, all right, hold my beer, and then he just goes supernova. CJ's been doing kind of that thing. But I was on SiriusXM radio yesterday, and they have like a segment we call Stretch 4, which one of these statements is the biggest stretch of all. And one of them was, within the next 3 years, CJ McCollum will be considered an MVP candidate. I said, no. Let's start with being an all-star, right? So CJ McCollum's a very, very good player. But if you're listing the best guards in the Western Conference, not the NBA, the Western Conference, he's not ranking that high. He's not one, two, or three. And so I guess that's the big thing. A lot of people equate them as very equally, but I think Lillard is in the conversation as being just as good as the Warriors' backcourt. CJ McCollum is a little bit behind on that.
Amin El-Hassan from ESPN joining us here on 95.7 The Game. How do you see the Warriors-Blazers series playing out, and then who does the winner face in the NBA Finals, in your opinion?
I think Golden State's going to win. I think it's not going to be as difficult as everyone wants it to be, as everyone wants to pitch it to be. Particularly once Durant gets back, if he doesn't play at all, I think it's a 6-game series for Golden State. If he gets back by game three, it's going to end quick because if you look at the regular season matchup, he was literally the player they had no answers for. I mean, I don't know, no one has an answer for Kevin Durant, but they particularly struggled mightily against Durant and being able to guard him. They just don't have the personnel to be able to even slow him down a little. And so it's Warriors either 6 or 5. And then in the finals, this is a tough one. I think Raptors and Bucks are a really close matchup. I know because the Raptors went 7 and the Bucks handled business fairly quickly, it doesn't look like that way. But I'm telling you, these two teams are both really good and know what they're supposed to do, role definition and role acceptance. Everyone knows what they're supposed to do, and there's no, man, I should have shot more. Man, I can't believe I didn't get no touches or whatever, that kind of stuff that bedevils a lot of teams in these scenarios. I'm going Bucks in 7, but I'm not confident in that one.
ESPN NBA insider Amin El-Hassan, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Amin, we know you're a busy guy, but we appreciate you jumping on with us, man. Thanks so much, and enjoy the game tonight.
Anytime, guys. Thanks a lot.
Today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet is up on the website now at 957thegame.com. Will the Warriors defeat the Blazers by 8 or more points in Game 1? Go ahead and let us know your thoughts on that. This segment is sponsored by Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Visit Friedman's Appliance magnificent 25,000 square foot showroom and find more at friedmansappliance.com. All right, we're almost at that stage of the show. We were hoping Lo Neal would do what he did prior to Game 6. He came out on Friday and he said, here's what the Warriors need to do in order to beat the Rockets. Tier 1, Steph and Klay had to combine for 60 or more points. They got 60. Tier 2, Draymond and Andre need to record 20 points. They recorded 25. Tier 3, I believe the bench needed to score 25. They scored 33. He knocked it out of the park. Nailed it. Now, we wanted him to do it for all the rest of the playoff games, but he's declining. He's going out on a high note, having achieved perfection in Game 6 against Houston. But today, we figured you could come up with your own cockamamie props, throw them out for us. Dibs and I will make our predictions on it, and then we can keep a running score through the rest of the playoffs. Is that something that suits your fancy?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, who is keeping score here? Anna, do you want to be the official scorekeeper of this?
Yes, I'll do it.
All right, thank you very much. Now, how many options are you going to be throwing at Dibs and I for this game tonight?
You know what? I'm just going to give you guys 3 options, and you guys can pick what do you think. It is just I'm telling you, it's a simple true or false, believe me or don't believe me. So it's simple, yes or no.
We're just, yes or no is the answer to what we're getting here.
Yes.
All right. Are you in?
I love it.
Do you want us to go back and forth? Do we have to write our answers down and then we reveal at the end? What's the best way to do this so we don't get into a screaming match over the semantics like we normally do?
Well, I think you guys can. Yeah. I'm just going to throw a scenario out there, and you guys got to, both of you guys can elaborate for, you know, a minute or so, because we got a little time, and I'll give it out to you guys, and you guys say, okay, disagree, agree. You guys do whatever you want with
it. Here's what we'll do. You read number one.
Yep.
Dibs and I will write down our answers. You'll read number two. We'll write down our answers. You'll read number three. And then we'll revisit and we will give our answers.
Perfect.
Do you find that to be?
Yeah.
I see you have a clean sheet of paper.
Yeah, this is like this. Ripley's Believe It or Not.
All right.
We'll either
like
believe
that.
It
okay.
or not.
All right. And the answer is either yes or no. Very exciting.
Keep it
I don't
simple.
Know what we're calling the segment. We need a name for this, but we'll get there.
Lo-Neal's text line. Believe It or Not.
All right, I'm good with that.
Here we go.
Believe it or not. All right, question number one.
The bench. Livingston, Bogut, McKinney, the whole bench. Believe it or not.
Well, what if Bogut starts? Bogut doesn't count then, right?
No, I'm still throwing Bogut in there as well.
Bench plus Bogut.
Plus Bogut.
Okay.
If they do not do this, no matter what, they lose 15. So you got
to believe it or not.
Exactly. Believe it or not. Okay.
So what's the official? Say it again. So bench plus Bogut.
Yep.
15 points.
If they don't reach this number, believe it or not, they win or they lose.
He's saying that group of individuals,
yep.
the bench plus Bogut, will score 15 or more points, and if they do so, they'll win. All right? So if they score 14 and they win.
Then that's where you'll be not.
I'm not, you know what? I made the mistake of trying to explain it. It's not my place. I just need to answer it. I've answered it.
Yep.
I don't know if anyone else is ready to move on.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, 50. Believe it or not, if they don't get at least 50, lose.
Okay, so the question is, if they score 49 and win.
Then I lose. So I'm just giving you guys the exact, you got where
I'm totally with you right now. Same church, different pew, but we're hearing the same sermon, and I think I'm getting it.
Okay.
I'm getting it.
Green, Draymond Green, Iguodala, 14. That's an believe it or not. So if those two combine.
We're talking
combine,
14 points.
Yep, those two combine. If that's the number.
If they combine for 14, they win, is what you're saying.
That is the bare minimum number that they have to hit. If this doesn't happen, no way they win. So all three of my facts that I laid out, all three of my opinions that I laid out, if any of those happen, so if Klay and Steph go for over 50 and Andre and Klay doesn't get their 14, they still lose. If the bench gets 15, doesn't get their 15, no matter what everyone else does, they still lose. So these are just believe it or not.
Okay, so
I love
bench
it.
Plus Bogut, though. We have to make
bench
sure.
Bench plus Bogut. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
So, why don't you go ahead and read number one again, and we'll give you our answers. Is everyone, we're on the honor
locked
system
in.
Here.
Okay. Locked in, yeah. Okay. Honor system.
Okay. Number one, the bench plus Bogut, 15 points. Does it happen? Believe it or not.
I'm on no, Coach. I'm on no on this one. I don't believe that they get 15.
Wow.
Bench plus Bogut, that's a no for
but
me.
But wait, isn't there two parts to this? They have to get to 15 and win?
The first part, if they have to get 15, 15 is the bare minimum. If they don't get 15, this team does not win.
Okay. Okay, Anna?
Oh, am I playing along too? I thought I was just a scorekeeper.
Oh, you don't get
fine.
Off that easy.
Oh,
sure.
Fine. That's fine. You can be the scorekeeper. My answer to that was believe it. My answer was believe it. Okay, so
good.
Question number two.
Okay. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, 50. They have to get combined 50
in order to win.
In order to win,
I have. I just wrote down not. I have not. I think they can score 49 and still win the game. I don't think those two have to get to 50 in order to win.
See, I'm on the other side. I believe it. I believe that they have to get to that 50 point in order to win. So I'm on believe it, and Joe's on the not.
Okay.
And then the last one, Andre and Iggy, 14. Believe it or not?
For this one, I just put a question mark. Just score me question mark.
Put me down as asterisk with an ampersand and a dot, dot, dot. No, I believe it. I believe that they need to get to that level. I'm on believe it on this one.
So you're of the impression that if Andre and Draymond score 13 combined points.
They win the game.
Right. But if they win the game and those two get to 13, you lose.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. They've got to hit that point total and they've got to win the game. And thank you for joining us on Lo-Neal's Believe It or not.
So what's your official answer, Joe, on that one? Just question,
question mark.
Just question mark.
I thought I made that pretty clear. Third one okay. is question mark.
You got it.
Because I'm telling you what right now, you look at that and you go, well, he's automatically punting on that one. Let's try to explain this tomorrow when we try to tally all this up. You tell me you don't want question mark in your pocket as the right answer.
I'm a little bit regretful that I didn't have some punctuation in my answers. I think question mark may be the correct answer.
You did have yours. You had asterisk, ampersand, ... believe.
Okay, so the official projections for this series as we work our way through, for those who haven't heard, you have which team and how many games?
Warriors in five. I think that they win both at home. They split in Portland after I was able to review my math. And then the Warriors are closing out in five. I've got Golden State in five. Covering tonight, Joe. I don't know if we're going to do that after, but I like the Warriors in five.
That's fine. No, you can lay it all out. So you got the Warriors covering, you got the Warriors winning, you got the Warriors in five. Very nicely done. Your thoughts on all that?
All right, so I've got the Warriors winning tonight, got the Warriors in six, and then if we're talking about KD again also, I think he'll come back in game six.
All right, Lo?
I'm changing too. I think there's a split at home and a split on the road.
So it'll be 2-2 after four.
Yep.
Okay, so you had originally said it would be 2-2 after four, but home team holds.
Yep.
Now you're going two splits,
yep.
still 2-2,
yep.
and your final projection
seven.
Is? You're still with Warriors in seven.
Yep.
All right, I'm with Dibs. I'm Warriors in five. I wrote about it yesterday. I saw it at like plus 200, and I was going through, and I was thinking, five, six, going back and forth. I can see that playing out either way. I'm getting really arrogant again. I think that's what happened after game six. It's like, you didn't need Durant. This should be easy. It's Portland. I've been watching Portland. I've been impressed with Portland. I know that Portland has put quite a bit of energy into everything they've done so far, so everyone's coming in a little bit gassed. This is the best spot of the entire series, because now you're playing every other night. There's not going to be extended rest. You're coming in. We talked about the Clippers series. Well, you want more rest against the Rockets. All that's in the past. You found a way to get yourself three nights of rest before game one in a series that is only going to give you one night off in between games. Portland, meanwhile, had to go to Denver, win game seven, and then immediately come to SFO. I'm assuming they landed there, and then stay in the city and then go play game one. I think you can take that and you can build upon that starting tonight. So I have them tonight. I wouldn't lay the eight. I would play the over on 200, and I think it's like 219 now. I'd play the over on it. I went through some numbers on that. I lean to that. If I'm betting anything, I'm playing that.
Outside the studio, I was talking about predictions because Guru asked me for a score, and I said 116-106 Warriors tonight. And Steiny turned around and said, without KD? And I took a pause for a moment, and I thought to myself, yeah, without KD, I still think the Warriors will win 116-106, which would be a slight over and a slight cover.
Remember something. When you remove Durant from the equation, don't just assume you're removing his offense. You're also removing his defense from the equation when we're talking
Good
about
point.
Totals. No one ever wants to bring that up. Scott, without KD, you're not going to score much. How many points did this team hang on Houston in game six? Houston, who works at a much slower pace than Portland, they put up 118 against Houston in that one. And you know Portland's going to come out and jack up a bunch of threes. Right. Not as many as Houston, but they'll be able to score down in the paint. They'll be able to get to the stripe as well. Bet 162. Thank God yesterday was an off day. The off days are the best days of all of this. Today, all right, your grand total, $1,458 in the red for anyone who's just joining us. We thought it may have been in the green.
$1,458.
It hit an all-time peak. On Saturday, it got up to $15.58 with that loss. Came back and won on Sunday with Bumgarner. So it dropped it down. That was a one-unit bet, $1,458. Today, I like the fact that the Giants are trying something different here against Toronto. It's minus 121 is the number. I'm going to play the Giants for two units. They're going with Vincent out of the bullpen to start the game. That's going to confuse Toronto. Toronto's going to be so confused, they're never going to be able to get organized. They're Canadian. I believe they're already on the metric system. So now they're coming in and they're going against bullpen guys rather than starters. They're going to think it's the sixth inning when it's really the first. I love the cat and mouse game being played by Zaidi and the Giants here. Confuse them early in the series. Hit them with that big punch. Now all of a sudden they're scrambling the rest of the way out. So Giants minus 120, two-unit wager, which means lay 240 to win 200.
Good luck, Coach.
Feel really good about this one. Really, really, really good about this one.
I'll tell you what, they're going to be able to get to Trent Thornton. I'll tell you what. Giants bats are hot.
That's the name of the opposing pitcher?
Trent Thornton. Yes, Trent Thornton, the right-hander, 5.06 ERA. His rookie season's been quite a roller coaster ride, Joe. Hopefully it's more of the downs than the ups today for your San Francisco Giants.
That is it for us. Steiny and the Guru coming up next. Bob McKillop will join them at 11 o'clock. Enjoy the game tonight, everyone. Remember, you will have more chances to win tickets to Game 2 starting tomorrow at 8 a.m. and Thursday at 8 a.m. courtesy of our friends at Realtor.com. For Dibs, Anna, and Lowe, I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out with us today, everyone. Greatly appreciated, as always. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.